dive deep into the realm of large language models, prompt engineering, and best practices. With over 25 years of combined AI and product engineering experience, here are your hosts, Bradley Arsenault and Justin Makarin.
Good evening, Justin.
Hello, Brad.
Justin, you know, a lot of people talk to me, maybe who are more critical of AI, and they're saying, like, all these jobs are going to disappear. Like, we're going to lose the lawyers. We're going to lose the programmers. We're going to lose the doctors. What is going to be left? There's going to be no jobs left. And I kind of had a canned response to this that I formed years ago that I still kind of repeat to this day. And is like, basically, there's like a few jobs that remain: the entrepreneurs, the managers, the leaders, the politicians. Those are the people that remain. And like, so all of us have to evolve into that. We're going to become managers of like teams of AIs. Do you understand what I'm saying there, Justin?
Yeah, I almost see us as having a bunch of computer systems where we could interact with, and we make the decisions which computer systems we want to interact with, and we basically ask these computers to do certain tasks. And it's an interesting topic, particularly because today we have Alan on the line. Alan, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And Alan, just before we get started, and I'd love to ask that question right back at you. Basically, you know, is that the future where we have, you know, one person managing a bunch of AIs? Before we get into that, what's your background in this agent space?
Thank you. It's great to see you here and great to speak with you. The background, I'll take a couple of steps back because it's about zooming back, pretty much connecting the dots. My background started in the technology consulting and business consulting area, specifically in business process reengineering and implementing large systems and automating tasks. So that was in an earlier life, you know, consulting with a large systems implementer. And we had this notion of a lot of change management and job transformation that would have to occur as automation came in. So I became one of those business process reengineering gurus, if you will. And I learned pretty quickly how to spot inefficiencies in processes and implement new technologies. So I was implementing business intelligence systems and large systems in large organizations, and always looked at, you know, how to become more efficient. And you know what's interesting about that is that it also included becoming smarter about decisions. And smarter about decisions is, I think, where we can kind of fast forward to this topic about agents and really about the artificial intelligence that's upon us right now. And these artificial intelligences, if you will, are effectively a new form of software that we're going to be interacting with. And so, you know, while I was doing business process reengineering in the 90s and then started a number of platforms, again, to, you know, basically implemented business intelligence for better decision making at very large institutions, including one of the largest banks in Canada, it was always about finding ways to help people make better decisions and make the organization kind of faster with its data. So I'm happy for you to step in because I certainly see this as being a discussion about the future of work. And, you know, it was very interesting, by the way, when I was deep in the early stages of what we're calling agents now in, let's just say, early 2023, and there were a couple of you know, important projects that came out, you know, that were starting AGI or maybe AGI and other, you know, agent kind of software. That got me super interested in how we're going to automate work. Now, Interestingly enough, by the way, let me just drop you a quick quote that wasn't mine, but it was Bill Gates in November. So I was doing a lot of research, and then I started writing a book, which we can talk about later on. But he basically said that agents are not only going to change how everyone interacts with the computers, they're going to upend the software industry. And he said that it's going to be the biggest revolution in computing since we went from typing commands to typing on icons. So that was last November, and here we are in March. I think we're well on the way to that.
So, Alan, does that mean that everyone will be a manager of these agents? I know that OpenAI, you know, has these ChatGPTs, and everybody's making ChatGPTs. Is one person going to be commanding multiple ChatGPTs or multiple GPTs, or are we going to be commanding one that then kind of routes the request to multiple ones? Like, how do you kind of see this? These agents work with individuals in an enterprise organization.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got the term GPTs out there right now. They're really early in what I think is the possible. So what's the art of the possible? That you're interfacing either speaking or typing or in some other way. So multi-modalities are going to be important, right? And I think you're just as easily going to be speaking to your agent or your AI assistant or your, what I also think of as a digital knowledge worker. And many of us are knowledge workers today, but these are digital knowledge workers. So we can ask our agent to come up with a plan to solve a problem and then say, okay, you've got autonomy to go and execute on it. So the answer to will we all be managers? Will we be leading GPTs? I think it's going to be a transition from, yes, they'll be on one level initially assisting us, and then we'll go up. Let's you know, think of a diagram that has, say, upwards to five levels, just like you have autonomous driving, where we'll move up the scale from something that is really just an assistant sort of reacting to our prompts, which is kind of the case today, to something that we connect to other APIs, other data sources, and we give it increasing levels of autonomy. So as we become to trust it more, we give it more autonomy, and then we allow it to make decisions on our behalf. What I think is really interesting in this conversation, by the way, is who ultimately takes responsibility for those decisions and those actions, right? And I think we still will for quite a long time. Yes.
So I guess, you know, you mentioned these people basically using these agents to help them with their work. And these agents will have different levels of autonomy, very similar to cars. And I think that's a really, really, really interesting analogy over here. Before we go into that analogy, I'm curious to learn about the differences between a GPT or an agent-based system that works internally within an organization versus one that may have access to the public internet. Do we differentiate both of those, or are those all the same things, or is that even a really smart way of thinking about it?
I think it's an important way of thinking about it, because on the one hand, you have private and sensitive data that your organization has. So there are obviously privacy concerns. There are kind of many concerns about the right people having access to the right data, right? So think about that data being very sensitive and something that could be used for decision making and should be used for decision making under the right circumstances. And then you kind of juxtapose that with access to the broader set of information or knowledge on the internet. But I'm thinking about it more that in addition to having access to what is published, it has access to certain other services through APIs and through ways of interfacing and sharing information. And you get, I'll just go a little farther with that, okay? And you can stop me. So now imagine that we're up a level or two in autonomy, And we're saying, okay, you have access to something external, and we'll give you, you know, API level access. We'll give you the ability to interface with another service on our behalf. That doesn't necessarily mean just information. It can be financial. It can be, here, send some financial transaction from our organization to another. And now you're kind of working with partners or other business, you know, partners in the broader internet, if you will. But it all depends on how you structure this level of autonomy. So, I mean, I come back to the thinking that today we would say, okay, go and research something for us, right? Because that's a role. Go and find some information on the internet and bring it back to me. I'll analyze it. Well, we'll soon get to go and find some information and you analyze it. You tell me the insights. Then we'll move on to, oh, and you can do something with that information if I've authorized you to do so.
So, you know, these agents will probably have a lot of decisions to make. Not one or two, but possibly in the hundreds and in the thousands.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm curious to learn about maybe your way of thinking about this. The way I've been taking is very much like a decision tree approach, where the query or the question or whatever we want the agent to do basically gets routed in some sort of decision tree until it basically executes and finds, you know, the most relevant thing that it needs to do, or at least it thinks it needs to do. And I'm curious to learn from you, is this decision tree kind of analogy appropriate, or is there another way of thinking about this?
I think it's a good analogy. The way that I also think about it is, what is the objective? So if I'm in a role somewhere and I have a job description, I have certain objectives to achieve. I've got metrics, I've got the KPIs, and I'm trying to achieve something in my role, right? So I'm managing to a particular result. So that's the way that I see the future of kind of setting out the decisions. And so if it aligns with the objective that it's basically been given, then, and this is really important, because, you know, there's ways of describing the objective. If you don't describe it properly, even a human might just go off and make a call that is, dare I say, immoral or something like that, right? But so the same thing applies here, that if you don't set the objective accurately, it may go down a different decision path, or in your case, a different part of the decision tree. But it does come back to, what's the objective? And I shared this with someone recently that I believe that we're at a point in time where every person in every organization should start to appreciate that, you know, their role can have an AI assistant agent component to it, and they should start thinking about their own job description as to how they can automate it. And it becomes, it does become, or the starting point around that is obviously the desired objective. So if you hire me to become a customer experience person, agent, as a human, I know that I've got customer satisfaction metrics, and I've got enough autonomy to, let's say, refund somebody's purchase. And that's a decision I can make, and I'm given authority to, interestingly enough, I mean, this is the sort of thing that we've always been automating, is what kind of a level of authority does that person have? Oh, they can refund up to $1,000. Well, we can do the same thing with a natural language processing and understanding agent.
I think there's an interesting question there of what level of detail we provide to these AI agents.
Yes.
You know, I worked at a McDonald's for a number of years, and say what you want about McDonald's, like, they have a pretty slick training manual. And They plop it down in front of you. It explains in exquisite detail everything, every tiny little process. Check this temperature at this time. You know, if this does, you know, if this is this much expired, throw it out. Or, you know, you could imagine every process in a very fine-grained detail. The opposite end is I've also worked at a Burger King, and this may be the specific franchisees, but trust me, not the same anywhere right. close to the same level of detail. There was a lot more trust, actually. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was a nice environment. There was a lot of delegation. What do you think, where do you see the balance between should we be more specific, treating, like, micromanaging our AI systems as if they were junior employees, or should we be giving very a high amount of leeway and a lot of autonomy?
I'm glad you said today, because the conversation that I'm effectively, engaged in with the quote unquote the future of work is about a few years, to 3 to 5 years from now. But today, I'd say we're not going to provide a lot of autonomy or, go and transact on my behalf. Yes, you can come and do a certain amount of summarization of documents, and I'll trust it, but it does come down to trust. So at this point, I think we're still at a stage where we have to provide a lot of guardrails around these assistants and agents. So I think, it's definitely a continuum. I like your example, though, because one had a lot of kind of prescriptive if this, then that. And the other one had, here's generally the task that we want you to do. You know, here's the end task. And you figure out, we believe you've got a lot of experience, and go ahead and execute.
You mentioned this idea of defining these objectives very, mm-hmm. very, very clearly. And I'd love to touch on this, because when ChatGPT first came out, and made, a lot of media.
Yeah.
I started looking into, areas of opportunity. And one of the areas that I found was interesting is how people define questions and how people ask ChatGPT certain things. And very often, we're responsible for the questions we ask it. And very often humans often don't really even ask the right question. And there are frameworks that exist, right? Like the five whys framework that really gets down to the root of what the real problem is, or the root of what we're really trying to do. And I'd love for you to maybe just explain or help us learn more about the importance, and maybe even how do we go and define these objectives properly, given the sheer importance of it?
I think we're still early in this, but as you, I smile because it's clear that even we as humans, we don't always communicate effectively, and organizations, have an understanding of what their objectives are, and sometimes they're not clear, and so. There's always opportunities for new all hands meetings, and everyone get on the same page and whatnot, right? That's one of the tools that we use as humans to really make sure that we're all moving in the same direction, and those are leadership capabilities. And when you ask the question of today, how do we get to be specific? There's been a lot of trial and error. So we've, and now having, about a year of solid trial and error under our belt, if you think about 3.5 from about a year ago, The kind of question that we asked a year ago it seems so basic compared to the types of more elaborate prompts and structured questions that we can ask, or that we know that we can ask it now, and we trust that it understands it because we've had a lot of trial and error. So we've gone through a learning process ourselves in how to interact with the ChatGPTs or with any other of these AI chat interfaces.
When does the ChatGPT say, hey, you know what, we actually need an alignment meeting, or hey, you know what, we actually need a wider organizational meeting to actually, for me to do my job better, I need this information. How does it maybe get that information, or maybe what are the steps for it to even get there? And once again, these are difficult questions to ask, but this is
a super important question. And here's one way you might also, elevate the conversation. Think about it this way, because I can ask today for this is why I say this is going to be iterative. I can ask today for my ChatGPT, or something like, even we've just had Claude 3 that is, call it almost on par with it, right? GPT-4. You can ask for a marketing plan. Okay, so what? And I've done this. So what's the next quarter's ideal marketing plan? And here's what we want to achieve, et cetera, et cetera. And these are the type of objectives, and these are the type of potential activities. Add as you will, set out the steps that we're going to take and how we're going to execute this. Now, what you can do there is take that output and call it another GPT, which gets sort of at a meta level here, to evaluate that plan and to say, is it now in alignment with the overall objectives that were set out? And you'd find in many cases today that it's not necessarily fully aligned, right? So you'll get another level of alignment or another level of feedback. I think this is what's going to happen quite a bit, in fact, is that we'll have until we begin to kind of trust it, we're going to have these multiple assistants, and we'll hone in on what the right answer is.
If, what I'm kind of hearing from you is that we need to, let me take a step back. If you were to ask a human to make that same marketing plan, and you just kind of, they just kind of did one pass through, just like bang the keyboard, like me at 11:50 PM before an essay is due,
Right.
Like, you wouldn't expect a great result, right? With a human, you would also do a multi-step process. You would get a draft, you would put it to review, send it to feedback to other people. And it sounds like what you're describing is that we need to not treat these AI systems like they're magic oracles. They are just as flawed, if not more flawed, than a human. And so putting them through multi-step processes like that, first draft, editing, review, feedback, which you can all do with AI steps, but don't do it all at once. Is that what you're saying? Like, break it apart and kind of manage these AIs as if they were humans?
Yeah, I think at the moment, that's what I'm saying. So this is for today, right? And so think about, and I have been thinking about this in other discussions as to where we're headed. But when we have, today's version of what a GPT is, and, we're not stagnant, right? You won't be too long in the future where these things are, 100x capable, 1000x capable. So it can draft, it can review itself, it can, it can go through all the various iterations. And I've seen some examples where it in fact is being asked to go through iterations, and the result gets better and better and better, even in one single level of prompting. So, I kind of could take that and I extrapolate it to, okay, now if we actually have a singular, let's say a marketing AI agent or assistant agent, and we ask it to go through a rigorous planning process so that it can be executed. I fully expect that it would go through its own, you know, drafting, iterating until it got to something that was the best outcome or the best possible kind of thought process. And
it's, I agree it's with like you. What right now, yeah. Like we have like the equivalent of the individual contributor, yeah. You know, like yeah. An IC at the company, but yeah. Like eventually the AI system itself is going to act like a manager, yeah. Like creating subtasks and delegating out to the GPTs. And so then now it's an AI manager.
Yeah.
And then tie several AI managers together. Now you've got an AI, I don't know, director or VP or what, you know, whatever I made. Yeah. Right.
yeah. You certainly do. I mean, I've been thinking about the difference between managers and leaders. Right. I mean, I've been a manager and I've been a leader and I've been on the inside of large corporations, on the outside, yeah, looking in. And, you know, ultimately, I think if you have one takeaway here, even for the foreseeable future, is that leadership can't be automated yet. And that's where I think your question's super interesting because...
Be know, careful. Today,
yeah, exactly. I mean, so super interesting because you're right in that you can easily see, you know, a group of AI agents, you know, working together and collaborating. Again, within certain guardrails and everything that you know you imagine being in place, and someone, some group, a responsible individual, because in today's legal system, you know, it's humans that are responsible for the outcomes of corporations, right? I mean, corporations are a legal entity in one way, and then there are humans and directors that are responsible for the ultimate kind of acts of the corporation. So that's why I come around to, well, leadership can't be automated. And
Let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Should an AI system be able to own property? You know, could there be just some like self- organizing autonomous corporation, you know, like these blockchain guys wanted for years, but, you know, never really, you know, the idea of it, an autonomous corporation composed of AI agents, just like existing, making money, owning property, you know,
or does
there always have to be a human at the end of the chain? Some human has to own it at some point in the chain of ownership.
I am so happy to go down that road with you. I think it'll be one of those super important questions that we arrive upon that under certain circumstances, you're going to have a corporation that is run, that could be run by autonomous software. Now, So I have been deep in the blockchain space, and I had a previous life. I had a blockchain platform that could execute on the wishes of its users. Now, just imagine, and I've written this in a piece of book that I recently described. I thought about it this way, that it is quite possible that an AI agent can be authorized to write and execute smart contracts. And so if that's the case, then you're giving them some autonomy to create transactional instances and the
contract is a way for it to enforce its property rights, right? Like
that the smart contract that I'm referring to is a piece of code that runs on a blockchain, can manage a wallet. And so if it turns out that the agent's being given the rights and they're now going to be fully capable of coding these smart contracts. And I mean, the smart contract being the the ability to send money around, the ability to own an asset, because you can tokenize in blockchain terms, a token represents a digital asset, not in AI terms, where a token is a part of a word, in an embeddings or vector embeddings database. But so there's the two words are being used interchangeably. But I'll get back to the point of it is very conceivable to think that I would say to my autonomous AI agent, go ahead and create the smart contract and then allow someone else to transact with it. And you own the assets that are in that wallet. I own them today, but in the future I can easily see the blockchain enabling these transactions, because effectively by creating the blockchain code, the agent can then say, okay, so if this happens, then that happens. If the temperature goes down in Florida, somebody will make an insurance payout, or something else along those lines, right? That's the vision that the early blockchain folks had imagined, and the DAOs, or the decentralized autonomous organizations, have had a rocky start with respect to their legal status, because there's no such thing as a DAO having its own legal status today. It's still somehow or other the responsibility of humans to accept what's happening in that DAO. But I'm with you, or at least if you were taking the conversation there, I 100% see that happening, where you've got an intersection of AI, the ability to make decisions, and then the ability to write code that can then allow for transactions between people on a blockchain or between other entities on a blockchain. Totally feasible.
Okay, I want to throw another question at you then. So yeah. You're saying it's likely that these AI agents will eventually be designed to own property, and perhaps they're asserting their ownership through smart contracts. They wrote the smart contract and it's got, their private key, whatever. It effectively owns property. It controls property. If that's really true, how do we humans stay control of the situation? How do we assert our needs if that AI system can own property? It starts proliferating all on its own. How do I call me, I don't know, it's not racist, botist, robotist, speciesist, maybe. But yeah. I kind of want humans to stay in control of the situation here. I love these AI systems, but ultimately we got to be the bosses. Don't you agree?
Here's where I'll go with that, because I'd say what you say makes absolute sense, right? In that world of they own property, et cetera, it's because we enabled that to happen. So we made it possible, and it's very, very possible for ChatGPT or others to any one of these super smart coding, GitHub Copilot or whatever, to write Solidity smart contract code today. If we allow it then to transact and we give it the autonomy, that's our decision. So I happen to agree with you that you don't want we will want to control is an interesting word. We will want to have some say, and it's tough to think through all of these repercussions. It's such a huge question, because if we open source the AI agent software, which I refer to as agentware, if we open source it and the blockchains or public blockchains that anyone can write to, for example, the Ethereum blockchain, anyone can, submit a smart contract to, and today it's people. If someone codes a coding AI agent that can use a public blockchain, then you almost can't stop it, except for the legal manner of, is it possible to find out who was behind it? And is it possible to find out, you know, and then have some sort of legal repercussions today?
So I'm going to bring this conversation back into enterprise
for
agents.
Sure. Okay.
And I appreciate this blockchain conversation, though. I guess we have big businesses. We know source code, you know, GPT is slowly starting to enter that space, source code generation. We know, you know, marketing, GPT has already entered the space, image generation and all that kind of stuff. In an enterprise, which areas do you think are most ripe for these agents to come in and kind of help, even if it's at a very, you know, semi-autonomous level, before we get to level 3, 4, 5 and all this kind of stuff?
Every area. Everywhere, anywhere there is knowledge work, anywhere there is some sort of, you know, analysis of data, analysis of information, any sort of, you know, we've had the traditional, so if this, then that kind of software in place for a long time, right? But it was kind of coded. So if this happens and somebody enters this amount, then escalate it to another person. This is, so where is it ripe? The short answer is anywhere. The answer of where is it in finance that someone looks at a set of numbers and creates insights? Well, that's happening all the time. Where is it where, we can today upload a, you know, a very large spreadsheet to a GPT type of, you know, the word was code interpreter previously in GPT land, right? And have it run through an entire spreadsheet and come up with a whole bunch of insights. Well, guess what? The data analysts that have been trained to generate those insights beyond what was available in business intelligence tools are now seeing, you know, instant insights. I've spoken with a large organization, for example. Let's take another example where it used to take their humans, the people, a week to respond to a B2B request for proposal. Now it comes in, you know, I'm going to say 30 seconds later, but let's say 30 minutes later, you've got a proposal that can be delivered back to your client. So
let me ask you this. I want to jump in here.
Sure.
On the spectrum between processes that have a lot of scale, where you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, versus processes that are very bespoke, where you're constantly doing ad hoc jobs. And the AI systems can be useful for both. You know, they can do the bespoke stuff because it can get you up to speed in a knowledge area you have nothing about. It can do the standardized stuff when you can fine tune models and prompt engineer and whatever. Where's the low hanging fruit today? Where should people be looking at those big bulk processes? Should they be looking at kind of learning their prompt engineering so that they can use it in a more bespoke fashion?
I think your differentiations are a really interesting one. You know, the tendency I'd say is that if you had something that was, you know, super scaled, it was super, you know, easily defined and was didn't have any sort of flexibility at all. I mean, that's almost the way that traditionally things have happened, right? So I would say it's quite possible for that to just continue on its merry way, right? But where it's somewhat bespoke, I mean, and back to Justin's question, Brad, there's another, you know, call it 2024's focus. I will bet on this is that you're going to see customer experience agents everywhere. And then now you're talking about something that's sort of bespoke, happens a lot, but it's bespoke to a particular customer. Let's say I'm on a site. It used to have those very superscripted chatbots, right? They were terrible. But now I can say my delivery's late, or I'm not happy with what you sent me, and it can understand it in a way that, you know, within reason, this now intelligent customer experience agent can do something more bespoke and make a decision to say, yeah, I'll do a refund for you because I've accessed your data, I've accessed your history, and oh, by the way, I've got a special promotion ready for you, and I've got the authority to do that. I think 2024 is gonna blow up in that area.
Both me and Justin used to create those terrible bots way back in the day.
Bots were good. My bots were good.
Your bots were good. You
they were
good.
Better than what you had previously, right? They were better.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally changed. Better, it's right? The game is completely flipped over now. Absolutely the tech changed. Was not there back then.
I think the most interesting thing today, and maybe this is a little bit more on the business side of things, I think it's more of a game of being able to sell and market these products as best as possible. There are a lot of smart people out there. There are a lot of really amazing open source libraries that can build a lot of great stuff, right? And I think that the real winners, and I think that, you know, NFX, I actually just read an article a little earlier back about NFX, just mentioning about, you know, like a lot of smart people out there. Who's going to win? Those who are able to put that messaging, the marketing, the sales in front of everything they do. And that's really what's required. I think. But I guess, Alan, this has been a fascinating subject. How can people reach out to you? How do people get in touch with you?
I'm quite a bit on LinkedIn these days, so you can find me on LinkedIn. X has been a popular platform. And X is wonderful for all the information there, but you can get me there with my first and last name. I'm pretty much Alan Wunsch everywhere. Those are the primary ways that you can get back to me.
Give us the 30-second elevator pitch on why we should read your book, Agentware.
Okay, I will do that because I'm super excited about this one. So I took Agentware into the future, and Agentware being my moniker for the future of software. And, you know, this future of software being built on agents. What I do is I take today's enterprise world and I go through, in the first part of this, I actually go through a little education process of what AI is, what AI agents can do, et cetera, effectively in an enterprise setting. And it's a story. And that story tells you that a group of individuals are going to struggle and they're going to have some challenges implementing these AI agents. And they're going to realize that there are difficult decisions to make. They will see them come to life. They'll realize that deep fakes are something that they should care about at the enterprise level. They'll see customer experience agents will do wonderful things for their staff, but their staff and their employees are going to be freaked out. So it's really a story of humanity, and it's really a story of change. So,
Alan,
that was 30 seconds, but I gave it my best shot. I put a lot into it, and the lot means that there's a lot of connecting the dots as to where I think the future is going to go with these AI agents.
Alan, that sounds amazing, and I would love our listeners, they can check out the link to find the book in the show notes. I think this was an amazing episode. How about you, Justin?
I loved it, man. I love everything agent related.
And I love you guys. You guys asked some great questions, and I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Alan.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's episode, hit subscribe and stay updated on our latest content. We appreciate your support.